Open the door. You got 30 seconds and we're coming in. Thank the great hand that feeds us all, I remembered to take some precautions and lock the door before I passed out last night. Everything was a mess. The world was a dripping, blurry canvas, painted with different colors and blinding bits of light. I sat up in bed and tried to stand. The floor met me halfway, and I found myself flapping around on the ground. It felt like someone had stuffed my brain in a suitcase and thrown it down a flight of stairs. All right, we're coming in. Whatever that was, it wasn't a fist. Whoever was out there was about to make a new hole in my door. In the faint light of a street lamp, leaking through the blinds like chemtrails, dust motes scattered and frenzied with each impact. I hauled myself to my feet and quickly crossed to the front door. Through the peephole, I eyed the egg-shaped badge of the Kingswall PD attached to the breast of a blue-shirted officer. Another kick slammed into my door. The wood near the deadbolt started to splinter, making it clear that waiting around to see what would happen next was not an option. I stumbled across the room to the window, grabbing my coat, hat, and wallet. There was no time to think about much else, as just then, another kick shattered the hinge and gloved fingers pried at the doorframe. My window gave a creak of protest as I pulled up on the old handle, hoping today wasn't the day it got stuck for good. Everything was happening too fast. I couldn't think. What did the cops want with me? I took a few private eye cases now and again to pick up some scratch around town, but I was careful not to run afoul of the powers that be. Usually, if the district wanted to lean on me a little, they'd give me a phone call during business hours, playing all nice-like. But this was a straight-up raid in the bar closing hours. I turned back and locked eyes with one of the cops who had stormed past my fallen door and into my apartment. Embry, down on the ground, now, hands where I can see them. My innocence wasn't going to matter much here. The cops weren't going to take a chicken's word, no matter what they thought I'd done or didn't do. Run now. Figure out how to fight back later. I quickly assessed my chances. The three lawmen had drawn weapons, a frying pan, a whisk, and a sharp-edged metal spatula. At least they weren't going for handguns yet. Either I didn't look that dangerous, or they were vastly underestimating me. What's going on, guys? Down on the floor, now! The three oblong cops were all bigger than me, thick-shelled with tough membranes. They formed a big eggy phalanx and closed in. I glanced back out the window. I was on the sixth floor. The ground might have been halfway across the world from here. The lead cop must have realized what I was thinking, because when I looked back at him, his eyes grew big and he brandished his frying pan menacingly. Hold on, Embry. Don't do anything you're going to regret. My beak dropped open, and I let a long, slow cackle from somewhere deep inside me vibrate beneath my wattle. His concern for my well-being almost detracted from how much his eggy mug said, "Bad cop." He couldn't possibly know, but my stores of regret were already full to bursting, so it didn't take a whole lot of thought before I hoisted myself through the windowsill and pushed off. "Holy shit!" I heard one of the eggs yell behind me. "We've got a flapper!" Something hit the sill just behind me with a vicious clank. The whisk, maybe? For a moment, I seemed to levitate there in the air. My wings stretched as wide as they could go, the air current buoying me up. It felt like I was actually flying. I had always dreamed of this. A big grin spread across my face involuntarily. I felt the majesty of being untethered from gravity's tyranny. Dreams of flight were incredibly common for foul folk, a sad masquerade of our subconscious desires dressed up in the magic of endless possibility.